Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Laurus Labs Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Laurus's Q2 FY23 results conference call. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today we have with us Dr. Satyanarayana Chava, Founder and CEO, Mr. V.V. Ravi Kumar, Executive Director and CFO, and Vivek Kumar from the investor relations team. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to wish the management and all the participants a very happy Diwali. I will hand the call over to Dr. Satya for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Monish. Thank you for joining us for our quarter two FY23 and H1 FY23 results conference call. We wish everyone participating in this call and their families very happy and safe Diwali. Yeah. We are pleased to have this opportunity to update you on our progress and answer your questions. Our strong start to FY23 continued in the second quarter. Our H1 financial results demonstrate favorable change in our business mix and sustained profitability. This was despite ongoing disruption in the business environment due to continued pandemic situation and also emerging geopolitical risks. Q2 results were driven by continuing strong growth in our CDMO business with additional support from non-ARV API segments. Overall, FDF ARV division performance was subdued and was impacted negatively by lower formulation volumes and adverse pricing dynamics in both API and formulation. Supply chain logistics scenario has slightly eased, driving moderation in imported RM prices. However, the ground situation remain extremely dynamic with the multiple factors in play, like restricted internal mobility in China, geopolitical issues. We are trying to minimize any disruption to customer shipments by expanding our critical supplier base and also having enough inventory to cope up these challenges. As we enter into second half, we remain confident in strength of our businesses, which is expected to deliver a strong revenue growth and a stable EBITDA margins of around 30% for the entire financial year. However, in near term, we'd like to provide you an update on our earlier goal of $1 billion revenue by FY23 sales target, which could potentially get delayed due to changed competitive landscape and adverse pricing impact in ARV APIs and offtake in ARV formulations. We remain firmly guided by our strategic priorities to build long-term growth, and our excellent execution skills will enable us to deliver value to all stakeholders. We are executing on the opportunities in front of us today while simultaneously making the necessary de-risking investments to sustain the company's success into the future. Moving on to our financial results, we achieved a healthy top and bottom line growth for the quarter and the first half of FY23, which was led by an exceptional growth in non-ARV numbers. We achieved 1,576 crore in revenues for the quarter, showcasing a 30% growth year-on-year. In the generic FDF for the quarter, our revenues were down by 70% year-on-year. For H1, our revenues were down by 51%, and our revenue degrowth was about 520 crore when compared to H1 FY22 versus H1 FY20. However, our antiviral APIs has shown a healthy growth, 477 crores in quarter 2 versus 339 crores in quarter 2 FY20. For the first 6 months, we did 790 crores ARV API sale versus 750 crores in last financial year 6 months. Oncology degrowth was visible in our Q2 numbers, but this is only momentary. We expect overall oncology will have a growth by end of the financial year. Noteworthy to have to observe, our other APIs has grown significantly in the current quarter from 115 to 222 crores. And the generic APIs overall, we did 680 crores versus 527 crores in Q2 FY20. Our synthesis was a very remarkable achievement here. We did 720 crores versus 155 crores in Q2 FY20. Our bio results were almost flat, 27 crores versus 26 crores in FY20. Overall, we did 1576 crores sale for the quarter 2 versus 1203 crores in quarter 2 FY20, which was almost 30% more than the previous corresponding quarter last year. I want to give a brief on our generic formulations. This division reported revenues of 498 crores for the first half of this financial year, with a almost 50% decline year on year. And for the quarter, it was exceptionally weak at degrowth of 70%. When it comes to LMIC business in ARVs, the broader demand environment in ARV continued to stay softer, and the pricing was remained very depressed in Q2, which is already at record low levels. We continue to remain calibrated in our bidding approach to ensure better profitability for this business. Having said that, we are optimistic about having a better H2 uptake with situation getting stabilized. We are very confident of sustaining our leadership position in our first-line HIV treatment, both APIs as well as formulations. During first half, we launched lopinavir-ritonavir combination in U.S. and also received U.S. FDA approval for abacavir-lamivudine combination in the second quarter, which we expect to launch shortly. Additionally, we are awaiting few more products approval, which should drive our growth in coming years. Laurus is fully integrated player in ARV formulations and believe we have fair ability to weather any pricing challenges in the coming quarters, as well as we are able to maintain our margins in the future quarters. Coming to the developed markets, our performance was stable and we continue to get good market share on select products. Increase in the generic volumes have been able to offset the pricing pressure. We continue to leverage our front-end presence in US for new product launches. During the quarter, we filed 2 ANDAs and received 4 approvals, 3 final and 122. We expect US filing pace to pick up during the second half of this year. Cumulatively, we have a total 34 ANDAs filed to date. Of this, we have a total of 14 final approvals and 12 tentative approvals so far. In Canada, we continue to have good approval pace with 11 approvals on hand, of which we have launched 7 products. In the Q2, we launched 1 product, and we intend to launch 2 more products in the rest of the financial year. For EU markets, we have validated 3 products as part of our CMO partnership. We did 1 product in the Q2. We got approval. We expect a significant upside from these products in the coming quarters. We have a basket of 10 approved products versus 9 in the previous quarter, of which we already launched 5 products. We launched 1 new product in Q2, and we will be launching few more products in the rest of the financial year. Based on our healthy product pipeline progress, we continue to invest in non-ARV formulation development and infrastructure. We currently have commissioned the total capacity of 10 billion units during the quarter two. We also wanted to make a note, there is a room to expand the formulation capacity by another 5 billion, but this may happen during the next financial year, depending on how we are doing in Europe and U.S. and how best we're utilizing our current infrastructure. On the R&D front, we continue to allocate critical resources to our initiatives, and invest in portfolio with product-specific approach based on complexity and scale-up economics. We initially started with immediate-release solid orals. Now we moved into modified release. We're also slowly moving up in the value chain by investing in complex generics. We have developed a unique novel drug delivery for pediatric HIV and filed patents around it. We intend to file NDA for this novel pediatric product during the current quarter. We believe this drug product for pediatric HIV treatment will significantly enhance our position as an innovative, cost-effective solution provider in HIV treatment in LMIC, and also provide opportunity for us to explore other therapeutic areas using this drug delivery system. We are also happy to share that we have commissioned our sterile R&D, and currently we have 30 scientists working there. Overall, our R&D spend to sales for the quarter was around 3%. Going to generic API, our antiviral business during the quarter continued to witness healthy improvement, with the sales growing by 20% year-on-year to 407 crores. While for the first 6 months, the growth was 5% year-on-year. Overall, demand stays softer, and we expect volume and pricing are going to stabilize at the current levels. Onco APIs reported about 51 crores sales during this quarter, a decline of 30% year-on-year. However, for the first 6 months, the segment had a degrowth of 14% year-on-year. This is a temporary phenomenon, but we are very confident to increase our oncology sales significantly in the next 6 months. We are also increasing our capacity of high-potent manufacturing in our Unit 4 located in Achyutapuram to meet our continued demand for high-potent APIs. Other API segment sales, which includes cardiovascular, diabetes, and anti-asthma products, have seen very good uptake both for the quarter two as well as the first half of the financial year. For quarter two, we reported a sales of 222 crores, growing 90% year-on-year. For the first 6 months, even after adjusting to a low base, the growth is robust at almost 90% year-on-year, supported by new contract supplies. During the first half, we have filed one DMF for a non-ARV product. With that, the total DMFs filed 74 to date. We also initiated validation for several APIs and expect to see good filings in FY24. We continue to have a high order book visibility for non-ARV, non-onco APIs, and additional manufacturing capacities also will support and capture the opportunity in this segment. Well, synthesis business delivered strong quarter, delivering a growth of over 300% year-on-year and 25% quarter-on-quarter, and recorded a sales of 720 crores. During the first half of the financial year, our CDMO business have grown over 2.5x compared to the previous years. This growth was supported by solid demand from new and existing clients. We are very excited about this division, and we are investing more in augmenting our capacity in R&D as well as manufacturing. Over 50 active projects at different stages and an ongoing commercial supplies of four APIs and several intermediates. Our greenfield investment to set up a dedicated R&D center for synthesis division at Genome Valley, Hyderabad, and three manufacturing units in Vizag under Laurus Synthesis Private Limited is progressing as per our previous timelines. New sites for this division will have the capabilities to handle steroids, hormones, and other high-potent molecules apart from medium and large volume products. Our Laurus Bio revenues were largely stable at 27 crores versus 26 crores quarter on quarter last year. But we do anticipate pickup of new capacities with our large-scale CDMO partners in the second half of this financial year. However, for H1, the sales grew 41% year-on-year. We believe alternate food industry is likely to grow meaningfully over the coming years. Scale, cost, and functionality will remain core drivers for differentiation for the players, and we want to capture this opportunity and would like to expand our capacities both at R1 to have more R&D projects and also complete the investment in balancing equipment at R2 to do scale-up of the projects from R1. We are also in the final planning stage to further expand our manufacturing capacity on a greenfield site in Karnataka itself. With that, I would like to hand it over to Ravi to share financial highlights.
Thank you, Doctor. Very warm welcome to everyone for our quarter 2 and H1 FY23 earning call. Before starting anything, I want to wish very happy Diwali, healthy, wealthy, safe Diwali. Total income from operations for H1 is 3,115 crores against 2,482 crores. A growth of 26%. During the quarter, we have a 31% growth with 1576 crores against 1203 crores. Gross margin slightly decreased to 55.1%. This is because of the product mix and some of the lower prices in the ARV segment. Our EBITDA is for quarter two, 449 crores with the 28.5%, whereas for first half is 903 crores with around 29%. This has happened for a better division mix. The CDMO, the better mix is being helping for this. Our diluted EPS for the quarter is 4 rupees 30 paisa at 16% growth and 9 rupees on not an annualized basis for H1. The growth of 10%. Our ROCE is stable at 28% on an annualized basis. This is on the back of product mix, better product mix. On the capex front, we invested 416 crore in the first half, and we are broadly in line with our guidance for the 2 years, around 2,000 crore across all the subsidiaries and divisions. And we remain on course to strengthen our position as a cost-effective integrated pharma player. We are investing in backward integration program and creating more capacity. And the additional investments in the capacities we are expecting to be in the non-ARV segments. And we are on a qualitative side, we are still bullish on the overall business of the company. We are And the FDF ARVs are only an one-off kind of a thing in the second quarter, and we expect it to restore from the quarter three onwards. So with this, I would request the moderator to open lines for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So firstly, happy Diwali to you and your team, sir. I have a few questions. Firstly, so earlier we had 5 billion tablet capacity. Hello?
Please go ahead, Jeevan.
Yeah. So earlier we had 5 billion tablet capacity. And at the peak peak utilization, we were doing around 500 crore revenue from that formulation. Now we have increased it to 10 billion tablet capacity. So the potential for formulation actually is 1,000 crore per quarter now. But this quarter, it's been almost only 149 crores. So I just want to understand by when you think we'll be able to utilize the increased capacity. We are also even thinking of going to 15 billion tablet capacity. So obviously we must be having the visibility of, you know, utilizing this formulation capacity. So just wanted to understand what is the timeline when we can actually fully utilize this 10 billion tablet capacity.
Given the 10 billion capacity, you can't have a just multiplication factor to arrive at a revenue. Each tablet can be sold at different prices.
So, no, I understand that, sir. It's not I just want to understand the utilization wise, when can we utilize?
By end of this financial year, we expect about 75% utilization of 10 billion units.
Okay. Perfect.
Still, we have some spare capacity. And for us to enhance capacity from 10 billion to 15 billion, we also need 12 months to buy equipment, install, qualify, and validate a product. We need 12 months. So, in anticipation of business, after 12 months, we need to start investment. So, we are not investing in additional 5 billion capacity in this financial year, but the building is ready for us to expand capacity from 10 billion to 15 billion with a notice of 12 months if there is an opportunity for us. See, otherwise, okay, if you want to do a greenfield, you need 24 months time. So we have shortened that window by 12 months by building civil infrastructure but not installing the lines.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you, sir. Secondly, we say that we have almost 47 approved filing in the DM developed markets with market size of $21 billion. So out of that, how much we have actually launched?
We have launched 14 molecules as of now with an addressable market size of 2.5 billion.
Next is, I want to understand, there has been 50% contribution from CDMO in this particular quarter, but still we are our margins have actually dropped. So why that happened? So is it because ARV API has got very low margins, or is it something else? Secondly, other expense for this quarter also looks very high. So last quarter our other expense was high because of fuel and power cost, and also because of the forex loss. So this quarter, what has happened on the margin front? So
there was a decline in ARV API prices, and there is a deleverage in ARV formulations. So our formulation capacity was not well utilized in Q2. So there was a deleverage in our formulations. These two led to the overall decline in EBITDA margins. Otherwise, we could have done better. That is the reason what we have guided for the rest of the financial year. We expect better margin profile because the visibility for ARV formulations looking bright for Q3 and Q4.
But our gross margin also declined, sir. So 50% contribution from CDMO, still our gross margin has declined.
That's the negatively impacted by ARV API as well as formulation price decline.
You see, our formulation is an integrated play. So if you recollect our guidance on the gross margin side, is top gross margin is synthesis followed by formulation. So when we lose formulation revenue, we not only lose gross margin and the formulation, but also on the API together.
Okay. So in the second half, when you say that we have calibrated and digested our ARV strategy, And we also got the orders from the global funds and PIFR that is supposed to happen next week. So do you think we'll be able to get to the better margins from here?
Better sales will result in better leverage for us, Jayant. So the Q3, we expect Q3, Q4, we expect to do better.
That you're talking.
Thank you.
Okay. And next is the tax rate. Is it going to change in the second half for us? Or will it remain the same at this particular level?
See, on a conservatively, we are projecting with the old regime. We are evaluating it. There are two, three driving factors. Probably at the end of third quarter or end of fourth quarter, we will have a fair idea whether it will be lower side or same. It will not go beyond this.
Okay. Okay. And the last question, sir. So CapEx in the.
Can you come back in the queue?
Just one question, I think, if you can allow.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So CapEx in the first half was 416 crore. Can you just tell us the CapEx in the second half and FY24?
Similar number what we are expecting.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, just to get a little bit more sense on the commentary that you've made and also from the press release, that 70% drop in the formulation FDF year-on-year and Q-on-Q. I mean, specifically, is it primarily led because of higher inventory in the channel, or what are the reasons for, number one, the prices being so different from the first quarter? And also some color in terms of if there is inventory, how much is the inventory in the channel? How do we see the volume kind of coming back probably in the second half?
We don't expect a lot of inventory in the channel. It's quite visible that our API sales in ARV increased to a normal level. The reason for lower sales of ARV formulations in Q2, actually, we saw that impact coming from Q1 itself. Q1 and significantly lower number in Q2. We didn't adjust the pricing in our tenders, so we lost a lot of tenders.
Okay.
That we have calibrated, and we are on par with other competitive pricing environment. So that's the reason we expect the Q3, Q4 should be better.
So we would not participate in the forthcoming tender, I mean, with the recalibrated prices?
Yes. Yes. You are right.
And to sum, what is the kind of extent of pricing drop that we have seen between first quarter and the second quarter?
Broadly, in the formulation, the price drop was 20%, actually.
Okay. So there was a 20% price drop and 50% volume drop in the first quarter, in the second quarter of this year.
I would say from the Q2 FY22 versus Q2 FY23, the pricing difference is maybe closer to 15%, around 15% price drop. One time.
Sure. Sure. And sir, on the CDMO side, we have seen a very strong growth in the last three quarters consistently. I mean, can you give some color with respect to the kind of profile of the kind of incremental growth, whether it is driven by or is there a revenue concentration in the incremental growth, or is it broad-based? How sustainable is the kind of growth that you are seeing on the CDMO?
We expect to have good partners, good products. We have good visibility in the segment. We are investing more in capacity expansion in the segment because of the visibility what we have. We are very excited and bullish on this division, not this quarters, in the coming quarters, but in the future years also. We wanted to invest and stay ahead of the curve in offering sustainable sourcing for CDMO partners.
Sure, sir. And is the revenue growth is broad-based or is it kind of concentrated? I mean, if you can give some color with respect to what rights you have.
It's broad. It's not concentrated. Yeah.
Sure, sir. And finally, on the cost side, I mean, as the previous participant pointed out, I mean, we seem to have not exactly captured the benefit of higher CDMO. But also, we are seeing that the transportation costs coming down. If you can give some color with respect versus the, you know, second quarter run rate, you know, costs such as the transportation costs and certain other costs, how they are trending right now, and, you know, would we see some kind of a reprieve in the second half as we go ahead, apart from the operating leverage?
So, the biggest negative contributor to our margin, not significant decline, some decline was there, despite we have done very good in CDMO, is because of the pricing pressure in ARVs. Otherwise, you could have done exceedingly well. So there is no challenge in the margins of CDMO business. It continued to do very well. But the ARVs, there was a decline in margins. That contributed to drag the overall margins for the company. Yeah.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. I have two questions. First one was, during your initial remarks, you mentioned about some delays to our revenue target due to change in competitive landscape. Could you please elaborate what exactly is that on? Is that just on the ARV side or was that for something else?
Competitive landscape changed significantly in the last 12 to 18 months in ARVs. Yeah. In the rest of the businesses, we have seen good traction, positive traction actually. So our oncology business grew, our non-oncology, non-ARV business grew significantly. Our non-ARV formulations also we have seen good progress, good approvals. Our CDMO is doing exceedingly well. So except to the landscape changed downward in ARV, APIs and formulations, rest of the segments are looking very positive.
Understood. And at this level of pricing for the ARVs, you know, the way at least I understand is Laurus is amongst the lowest cost producers for ARVs in the market. So if the pricing is, you know, under so much pressure, wouldn't the other competitors be facing a lot of pressure on their profitability as well, so pricing should come back eventually? Is that the way we should think?
We hope pricing should bounce back to some extent positively, but I do believe we are at the lowest pricing right now. We don't expect the pricings to go down further. So I think any improvement is on the positive side, only.
Got it. And my second question was, in your initial remarks, you also mentioned about investing in complex generic products. Could you like elaborate a little bit more in terms of what kind of products, like is it injectables, inhalers, what exactly are we doing here? And also, is it with our own front end or are we doing contract manufacturing for other pharma companies?
I think because of nature of products, what we are working, we don't want to elaborate further on what complex products we are working, but the competition in those products is limited. Although they are genericized, the competition is limited. So maybe when we file a product and then we will be able to talk more about our strategy. Yeah.
Makes sense. And is there any timeline by when we expect to file the NDA? Like would it be, like should we say FY23 or would it be FY24? Any broad timelines would be helpful.
Maybe FY25.
FY25. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. My first question was on the FDF business. If you could just clarify how much of the FDF sales in the first quarter and the second quarter of this financial year was from ARV?
Give me a few seconds.
Sure.
Ravi, do you have a... Yeah.
ARV is 95 crores this quarter against 275 crores in the previous quarter.
So out of 150 crores in formulations, only 50 crore came from ARVs, the rest came from non-ARVs.
Yeah.
Right. And as a percentage of the total revenue, what percentage was ARV versus non-ARV for this quarter?
That's about 29% is total ARVs.
Okay, so that's 70-30 now.
29%.
Yeah, so less than 30% contribution came from ARVs, both APIs and formulations put together.
Okay, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Binu Bhati Parampil from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Couple of questions. One, Dr. Sharma, could you please make us understand a little bit about the mechanics of this ARV formulation tenders? Are these like tenders which happen every other day or every other week for a fixed amount of supply, or are these like a longer term supply contract which runs through months or years?
In the Q1 and Q2, the contribution from long term allocation was less and we didn't have success in getting non long term tender quantities, which there was a lot of pricing pressure. We didn't have success. But now, the other agencies are about to announce their long-term allocations in this quarter. So we expect some stability will come in our forecast for the coming quarters. So our lower sales, because we didn't win tenders in the non-long-term focused agencies.
Understood. So it's basically a mix of both. Broadly put together, I know it's difficult to calculate, but broadly put together, how much of the market would be long-term contracts and how much would be short-term? Is it like roughly 50-50 or?
Typically, in the last several quarters, our long-term contract-based sales is 3/4 and 1/4 is short-term tender-based. In the last 3 quarters, the long-term-based tenders awards were less because of the stocking, in the channel stocking. But now that is gone, they are back to ordering stage right now. So that is the reason we expect a lot of visibility will come from this quarter onwards.
Understood. Great. And my second question is regarding FY24. So when you had this original guidance of 7,200 crores, you know, generally we were expecting FY24 to be a soft or a flat year after a very big growth this year. So now that you have lowered your guidance by 10%, FY24 still looks like a soft year, or you think this lost 10% of this year can be caught up next year?
We'll come back with more updated forecast as we go into Q3, Q4. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. Sir, on the ARV business, you had earlier indicated that we would probably be around a run rate of 3,000 crores per year. You know, with whatever is changing, happening in the landscape, do you think that number needs to be toned down a bit in your assessment?
It will be down, but not significantly. You look at our ARV APIs, is almost 790 crores in the past 6 months. So it's easy. You can expect it will be 1,500-1,600 crores for the entire year, ARV API. So our formulation sales is lower in the Q1, Q2, especially very low in the Q2, but we expect bounce back in Q3, Q4. So It will be somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 crores, total ARV, API and formulation sales.
And so this is a rate we should assume even on a going forward sustained basis?
We expect so. We don't expect growth in this segment. We will probably in that range.
And so secondly, on the formulation capacity, you mentioned we have a capacity of 10 billion tablets now. So when you are planning, what was your assessment in terms of how much of this capacity was to be utilized by ARV formulations?
Well, yeah. Capacity consumed by ARV formulations is less than 20%. Okay. See, if you look at we is it tablets-wise, three APIs go into one tablet. So you can't just compare one tablet of ARV into one tablet of metformin. Yeah. It's not one-to-one, apple-to-apple comparison. But last year we produced little over a billion tablets in ARV. Yeah.
Right. And so you're saying for the total formulation capacity, ARVs will take up only about 20% of your capacity, even on a going forward basis?
Yes. Yeah. For ARV sales, not for us, for anyone, formulation capacity will never going to be bottleneck. So formulation is easier. The challenge is how to make cost-effective API is one challenge, and winning the tenders is another challenge. Making formulations is never going to be a challenge for anyone, including us.
And so just a link point is, you mentioned that by the end of the year, you would be at 75% capacity utilization for the formulation business on the 10 billion capacity. So do we see a very significant ramp up in the non-ARV formulations in the coming quarters?
Quantum-wise, yes. We are producing non-ARV API significant volume right now, and we expect one more approval by end of this year. With that, we expect to utilize even more capacity in Q4 of this financial year.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And the last question, on the CDMO business, sir, we mentioned in the press release that the purchase order that you've got is sort of getting executed also steadily in the current quarters. But how should we look at the purchase order business? Is it for only for this year, or this is it has continuity beyond this current year also?
We have visibility for this financial year, but we don't have visibility for next financial year for the purchase order. But we have a lot of projects under evaluation, under execution, under negotiation. So this division, rest assured, we are focusing and investing significantly into this.
And sir, just last question on this. Given the very high base that we will create in CDMO this year, is it fair to expect a flat to a growth number next year on this base, or given the very high base this year, that would be difficult?
We'll come back with more specific details. It is too early for us to comment on the FY24 CDMO numbers right now.
Okay, sir. Thank you, and best luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Tushar Madudane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So given the kind of disruption that has already happened on the pricing on the ARV front, even if we win the contracts, what gives us confidence that we'll be able to do 30% margin, because the ask rate for second half FY23 would be 32%+ kind of a margin to achieve 30% margin for FY23?
So for the first 2 half of the financial year, we're already at 29% EBITDA margin. So when we are saying we will maintain about 30% EBITDA margins, doesn't mean we are saying 30.00. We have to improve beyond 29% to go closer to 30%, which we are very confident.
Yeah.
As we mentioned to some of the investors in this call earlier, because of the deleverage happened in formulations, that was compensated by higher margin synthesis. Otherwise, we could have done better. Yeah.
Got you, sir. And in fact, even in the sales trend of the non-ARV formulation has been relatively lesser for the quarter. Any particular reason to highlight?
Actually, it was very good. Non-ARV doing 100 crores per quarter was good. And our non-ARV quantum-wise will grow in Q3, Q4. As we mentioned, our sales to European partner will happen in Q3, in the second half of this financial year. And we are shipping in this year, this quarter and next quarter. We have a very good visibility there.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kunal Damesh from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. One basic question on the CDMO business. So right now, when there is a new RFP that is being floated, have you seen any change in the trend of new RFPs being floated, given you know, the biotech has been under a lot of pressure on the US side?
See, we haven't seen any decline in the number of RFPs being floated by our partners from Q1, Q2 to current quarters. It was actually maybe trend is positive rather than negative in the number of RFPs.
And number of people bidding for particular RFP, have you seen any change in trend over the last couple of years?
We don't have visibility on that. We can't comment on how many people receiving same RFP. We have no visibility on that.
Okay. And one question on the ARV business. When we say that short-term contract, the pricing have gone down, but the long-term contract allocation is about to happen. But does the short-term contract pricing, you know, are like a bellwether for the long-term contract pricing, or the pricing could be different for the long-term contract?
Long-term contracts generally better than the winner-takes-all tenders. But eventually, one could expect that lower pricing will also have an impact on the long-term pricing as well.
Okay. And is it possible that short-term contract, winner takes it all kind of situation versus long-term contract would be like a much more stable allocation between the major players?
Long-term contracts, there are allocations they do. Nobody gets more than one-third.
And in short term, it's not the case.
It's not the case. In some cases, people get 50%. Some cases, people get 100%.
Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Palak Shah from Infina Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So first, I just wanted to understand, our FY23 growth has two big components to it, right? First is your CDMO business doing phenomenally better because of the large purchase order. And now we're looking at a price erosion in ARV and API, ARV's API and formulation business both. So on that base, FY24's growth seems to be a bit difficult, or do we have more levers which can actually aid us to grow next year?
We are creating a lot of capacity. We have the levers to grow. But we will give you more color of updates as we come closer to the financial year.
Got it. So, secondly, you have revisited our guidance of $1 billion target at 72. But now, given that currency is depreciated and we have rationalized our guidance by 10%, that's effectively a 20-25% cut in the rupee term that we would have expected. Would the understanding be right?
You are absolutely right. See, as we gave numbers in our presentation, our decline in formulations in the past 6 months is almost 500 crores. So that we are not going to recoup in the next 6 months. So that led to revising our guidance lower to our aspirational number of 7,200 crores. Yeah.
All right. So just lastly, if you will permit me for this, given that price decrease have happened across ARV formulation and API, and which still intend to maintain our margins, can you explain the bridge which will help us maintain the margin? Because my understanding would be price erosion would lead to some dilution of margin as well.
So, if you look at our contribution coming from ARV, APs and formulations will remain flattish, whereas rest of the businesses are growing significantly. So even though there is a price pressure on ARVs because of flattish base for that, and rest of the businesses are growing, which are more favorable in margins, that is the reason we expect the margins profile will remain same or better.
Correct. So thank you. Thank you for taking my questions, and best wishes for the festival.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bharat from Quest for Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Last quarter, there was an increase of other expense by 70 crores. And the reason mentioned that time was like it was due to a one-time cost of power, fuel and forex loss. And this one time, and even in this quarter, we see that there's an increase of 70 crores in other expenses. May you know the reason for this?
I think forex loss, even the second quarter is also there, though it is unrealized. And of course, power and fuel, it got restored. The additional expenditure in the power and fuel, what we spent in quarter one, is not repeated in quarter two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it should reduce, right? The other expense should reduce, but it's still at the elevated level.
There are some other expenditure also there, and then we are adding new blocks and new capacity added for a formulation. For that, we have to recruit more people, etc. And more operating expenses also to be incurred for those.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And in the board meeting today, you approved for incorporation of a new specialty chemical business. May you know, what is this business?
This is an adjacency to what we are doing. We intend to make some chemicals to start with what we consume, which we are buying from third parties. So, we will make some very large volume, medium volume and small volume products. So, these specialty chemicals prices vary from $1 to $100 per kg. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And in last concall, you said that generally for this tender, 10% of the tenders are like winner takes all, and rest 90% is something like it's evenly spread. You know, it's like 30% to the first guy and 20% to the second guy and some 30% to the third guy, something like that. So, now, and you say that now we lost most of the tenders. Does it mean that we have not even won any of those tenders where it is evenly spread between the bidders?
We haven't won significant numbers of winner takes all. We didn't win much. That was quite visible for our lower sales in Q1, and significant lower sales in Q2 was because of that.
Okay, so you mean to say like in Q2 also most of the tenders were like winner takes all, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so these 10% of the tenders were mostly in Q1 and Q2?
Yes.
This 10%. Okay. And my other question is like till recently we had this 5 billion capacity for tablets, and I understand that out of which 2 billion is utilized for ARV, right? And 3 billion is for non-ARV. And I assume that this complete 3 billion is fully utilized. Am I right? The old 5 billion, out of the 5 billion, complete 3 billion is used for.
Our old formulation block is optimum utilized. And even in the new formulation block, about a billion units we are producing on an annual basis right now, out of 5 billion new capacity, which we expect to will utilize another billion units on an annualized basis by end of this financial year. That's what I said. By end of this financial year, about 50% of our new 5 billion capacity will be utilized.
Okay, and the old 5 billion out of which?
Is optimum utilized, yeah, already.
So does it mean that, out of this old 5 billion capacity, so 3 billion is for non-ARV, right? 3 billion.
Broadly, yes. So, yeah.
Broadly. So, and this quarter we have done 100 crores of revenue from this non-ARV. So does it mean that out of this 3 billion, we were able to generate a revenue of 100 crores for non-ARV? Is my understanding right?
you can't slice that way and then multiply. But broadly, you're right. We have doing about 1.3, 1.4 billion units contract manufacturing to one partner. And we are doing another 1 billion for our own formulations for Canada, US, and other markets. You are right broadly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And my last question is like, this 2 billion tablet capacity, which we have an ARV, is that fungible, sir? Or why I'm asking, like, if you want to shift it to non-ARV, is it possible or is it...
It's fungible. It's very fungible. And as I mentioned, making ARV, suppose there is opportunity for 3 billion ARV, we can do 3 billion. So, like ARV formulation capacity is fungible, non-ARV capacity is also fungible to ARV. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Gaurav Singhal from Aspects Management HK Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. And
Mr. Singhal, can you speak louder, please?
Sorry. Hi. Thank you for taking my question and happy Diwali to everyone. I just wanted to follow up on some of the questions that have already been asked. You mentioned that by the time we exit this financial year, our formulation capacity, we would be able to exit at like 75% kind of utilization for the 10 billion capacity. Can you share what our utilization was in 1Q and 2Q?
It was less in Q2, is very visible of our lower sales. Yeah.
Right. But do you want to share a number, if that's possible, for 2Q or 1Q?
We can't share more granular than this. So we're sharing a very in detailed number, but you can reach out to Vivek and we'll be able to have a discussion offline.
I think it can, it's a very fungible capacity. It's very difficult to disclose like that.
Yeah. Okay, got it. No worries. And then for the ARV long-term tenders, apologies if it has been discussed in earlier calls, but how long are these long-term tenders that we expect?
These long-term awards typically for 3 years. They allocate certain percentage of their purchases. That's for 3 years.
Got it. And then when Global Fund, which is expected to announce their long-term award
soon,
expected to announce allocations next week. So this is something that, if I understand correctly, we already have won these orders, and it's just like a public announcement would be made next week, or does the company also not know right now, and they will also find out next week? I'm not sure if I understood that correctly.
We don't know the results yet, so they haven't announced. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So Global Fund will know the results next week, and PEPFAR will know sometime into December.
Sure.
Got it. Okay, all the other questions have been answered. So
Thank you.
We'll take our last question from the line of Neha Agarwal from Sage1 Invest. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. So my question is largely on the non-ARV formulations plan. If you could give more guidance on the growth visibility there pertaining to launches that we have made so far, and also in, I think, end of FY22, you mentioned opportunities in the gliptins and sartans segment because of the kind of superior purity of the product that we have, better quality that we have, and we'll be able to garner better market share. What is the progress there?
So when you compare our formulation sales in Q4 last financial year, we did almost about 500 crores. Yeah.
Right.
No, 300 formulations, about 500 crores, 490 crores.
Yeah.
So we have degrown to 150 crores. So there is a room for us to go back to 500 crores. That growth will happen from ARV and non-ARV both. But maybe by end of FY24, most of the growth in the formulations will come from non-ARVs. Like our API growth is coming from non-ARV APIs. By end of 24, most of the growth in formulations also will come from non-ARVs. Yeah.
Yeah.
In ARVs, there is a limit for us to grow in both APIs and formulations. We believe by end of next year, we'll reach that plateau, and then growth will come from non-ARVs in formulations too. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So, in fact, particular to non-ARV only, my question was that how is the product launch, I mean, the product that we have launched so far, how is the growth coming along in those?
See,
what kind of market share are we getting
there? We are launching two products in Europe this quarter onwards, and we expect one product will be launched in US Q4 this financial year. So those products, Europe products already we started shipping, and US, depending on the approval, we expect approval was delayed by a quarter. So that launch will happen early next year, calendar year. All these new products, what we are talking is non-ARVs.
Right. And any overall revenue guidance on the non-ARV formulations front for the full year?
We can't give you more granular than this. Yeah. I'm sorry for that.
Okay. And if you could just help me with last year's non-ARV formulations number, please.
Give us a second.
Around 250 crores or so.
Out of? Out of 1800 crores.
Out of 1800.
Yeah, 1800. Correct. Yeah. Around 250 was non-ARV.
Yeah.
And definitely on that base of non-ARV, I mean, just leaving aside the ARV formulations piece, at least we can expect a good, strong double-digit growth on that.
You're right.
Yeah, but overall, with the just one last question, with the kind of pace that we are seeing in terms of formulations launches in the on the generic formulation side, do you think we could see a kind of spurt similar to what we have in CDMO in terms of growth for non-ARV formulations also, a similar growth spurt?
Not that big.
Yeah.
Formulations, we expect a lot of growth will come in FY25, not in 24.
Okay, okay. And just one last question on the multi-year contract that you had, I think, which we signed earlier this year. So revenues have started coming from there already?
What's that?
No. So we are the new site for that will be qualified mid of next year.
Okay, so I think second half of FY24 and then more meaningfully in FY25. Will that be correct?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Satyanarayana Chava for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Monish, for organizing this call. Thank you, participant, for asking very intriguing questions, and we wish you happy and safe Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.